Okay. I'll be singing "He Has Made Me Glad," number 103. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for me, made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
I will be reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
We're going to sing "Jesus Loves Me."
Okay. Here we go. Let's sing it. Jesus loves me.
Good job, fellas. I'd like to welcome everyone, especially those of you who are visiting with us. Invite you to come be with us whenever you have an opportunity. If you're considering looking for a home congregation, we hope you'll consider us here at Florence Boulevard. Would appreciate all of our visitors, as well as our members that have any special needs, to fill out one of these attendance cards. These will be located on the back of the pew in front of you, and those will be collected before we have our closing prayer this afternoon. Please continue to pray for all of those that are sick and grieving and shut in. Jace Tyler Gregory, this is the great-grandson of David and Eveline Hinton, was born Tuesday and had to be taken to Children's in Birmingham due to some breathing and feeding issues. Also, Doug and Michelle Watson are homesick, so keep these folks in your prayers. If you are on June Green's Room in the Inn food team, you'll be meeting tonight immediately after services down front here, so please remember that. We're having a baby boy diaper pounding through Sunday, February 27th for Chrissy DeVito. The items can be placed in the basket located in the main foyer. have a couple of cards. I would like to thank you for all the prayers, cards, calls, and texts and acts of kindness shown to us since the passing of our dad. A special thanks to those who came to the visitation or funeral. We especially appreciate the donations made to the children's home, as well as the scholarship fund at Freed Hardeman University in his memory. That's from Don and Lisa Williams. Also to the church at Florence Boulevard, we want to thank everyone for every expression of kindness shown to us in the tragic death of my sister, Berlene Taylor. Thanks for all the cards, phone calls, and prayers for our family. Christian love, Charles E. Hester. Finally, the house-to-house, heart-to-hearts are available in the foyer. If you don't get this in the mail, you can pick those up and take those home. You're encouraged to do so, as well as give those to any friends or anyone who might need them. So all the announcements I have will begin.
We have a good-looking crowd out here this evening. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it a priority to be here. I want to keep encouraging us to reach out to those who maybe could be here but aren't. Keep bringing them on in. We need this time together. Good to see everybody out. Let's stand as we begin our worship.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name. With hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings.
Be seated. Next song this evening will be number 122, The Love of God. We'll sing the first and third verses.
Since the love of God has shed priceless blessings on my head, I have made it my own. I will hide it in my heart that it never may depart. Thank you.
Excellent. Singing is fantastic tonight. Before we have our opening prayer, we'll sing In Need.
In need of grace.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come together to worship you here, brothers and sisters, love one another, care for one another. We're thankful for the songs that we can sing to praise you and what it does to our hearts to hear them sung. We're thankful that we can come to hear your word taught. And we pray, Father, that tonight as we learn more from Joshua, that it will mean much to our hearts and our understanding of your will. Father, we're thankful for each other. We're thankful all the brothers and sisters that meet here. And Father, we pray that you would be with us, that we will continually strive to encourage one another, to uplift one another, to help each other when we're down, and to be able to encourage us when we need encouragement spiritually. Father, we pray that we will be instrumental in helping each other to achieve the goal of joining you in heaven. Father, we realize that We all need to strive to be more in tune with your word and your will. And we pray that you will help each one of us to strive to improve every day in every way, so that we can reach the goal of near perfection. Because, Father, we know we will not ever be perfect in anything. And, Father, we realize that there are many people in this congregation that have suffered losses, relatives, friends, many that are struggling at this time with health issues. And we pray that you would be with them as they strive to get better, be with those treatments and doctors and so forth that are working with them to help them improve. Father, we're thankful for our elders. We're thankful for the work that they do and the leading that they provide. We pray that you would constantly be with them in their hearts and keep them away from depression. Keep them away from being so concerned that they are not making the right decisions. That they will depend on you, Father, and they will continually look towards you and doing the things they're doing, providing the work they're providing. And as well, Father, for our deacons, as they strive to do the jobs that have been assigned to them and that they have agreed to do. And Father, we're thankful for Brother Hames and for the years that he spent in the leadership here. We're thankful for the life that he has given, the example that he's been. And we pray your continued blessing on him and his family and his health, that he may have many more years to serve you. Father, on the other side, we know that each one of us many times has difficulties that we go through. Sometimes, Father, it's from sin that we commit. But sometimes, Father, things happen to us that have nothing to do with sin, but maybe decisions that were made that weren't the best decisions. Things that we've done that many times have pulled us down. And sometimes, Father, in light of this, as well as in light of other things that are going on in this world right now, in terms of COVID, what it's doing to us, keeping many people from being with one another, from doing the things they want to do, including, Father, coming to church here to be with our brothers and sisters. These things pull us down, Father. They discourage us, along with other things that are going on that we see that we don't agree with, even from the standpoint of our leaders, our world leaders, and the things that they, decisions that they make sometimes, Father, that are in our minds are not in accordance with your will. All of these things, Father, as you well know, Father, have a tendency to pull us down and discourage us. And Father, we want to stress, Father, each and every one of us need to stress the scripture of be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you are with us. Be still and know that you are on our side and that you will do what you said you would do in the scripture, that all things will work together for good for those that love you. Father, you know our hearts, and you know how much we need you. Please, Father, help us to maintain the faith that we need so that we can keep our hearts up, our heads up, and we'll be good, and we can continue to be good examples for not only the world, but for each other. Father, we pray our thanks to you for all the blessings you give us, the food that we have, the shelter that we have, the children that we have, the grandchildren. And we're thankful in this congregation for the young people that we can see and that we know that are coming, that are such blessings to us. Father, once again, we pray and thank you for your son, for you allowing him to come and sacrifice, and that he was so willing to do your will, to give his life, so that we can have a hope of eternal life with you. And it's just this time, Father, that we do pray through him. Amen.
Before we have our lesson brought to us tonight, we'll sing "What the Lord Has Done in Me." If you'd like, let's stand as we sing. And as always, we ask you to remain standing as we read from God's Word immediately after.
Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich." Let the blind say, "I am seeing." It's what the
Oh, stand up, oh, stand up to the reading tonight will come from Joshua, Joshua 6 through 9. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Be strong and of good courage, for the people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their father to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that if you may observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated.
Thanks, Larry. Amen. Church, say amen. It is great to be here tonight. I got to say, Mark, the singing was just fantastic. Song selection was awesome. Your involvement in that is vital. And I don't think God made a mistake when he talked about praising the Lord, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A voice that sings out comes from a heart that is overflowing. And so when you sing out, what you indicate to the family and to the Father is your heart is overflowing in love and praise. And I thank you for that. We've lifted up a sweet-smelling aroma. Let's continue to do that, though. Let me shift for just a minute. Do you remember what you ate for lunch this morning? Or this afternoon? Some, maybe. How about what did you eat for dinner Thursday night? What'd you snack on two Sunday afternoons ago? Better yet, what did you cook a year and a half ago? Oh, you don't remember? Why? Sometimes we eat so many meals and we make so many things and they're all so different, we can't really remember what happened. But we do know what? We do know that we were nourished, right? Sometimes in church, quote unquote, we provide so many meals, Bible class, sermon, devotional, Bible study, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Tuesday group you're a part of, that Thursday Bible study you take part in on your own. Sometimes we have so many spiritual meals, we don't really know what we're getting, but we know we're nourished, right? We do. Well, our elders have asked me, and I think it's a great idea, to focus in. No, the elders didn't say, hey, Austin, would you focus? They said, we want to dive into Scripture and back to the basic understanding of the Word of God, which gives life and provides an understanding of godliness. So I'm excited about today, because in our Sunday morning series, we're going to be talking about marriage and the family, leading up to our marriage seminar in March, on March 12th and March 13th. Sign up on the sheet out there or on our Facebook page. It's going to be a great weekend. Sunday evenings, we're going to be talking about Joshua. We're going to dive into the book. And in the bulletin, which some of you get, I have multiple, I have a little Bible quiz for some people to test your knowledge. And so what I'll be doing is answering these questions on Sunday nights and maybe even some on Wednesday nights. So you're getting that same spiritual nourishment throughout the week. We're in Joshua on Sunday, in Joshua on Wednesday, back in Joshua on Sunday. We're going to have a steady diet of it. And when you have a steady diet of something, you know it, you appreciate it, and you crave it. And you're going to crave the Word of God, because what you're going to see as we dig into Scripture is how great it is. Here's my aim for tonight. To open up that book, share a couple of thoughts as we introduce Joshua in brief, and whet your appetite so you go craving more. And Joshua is an exciting book, right? If you haven't ever looked at Joshua, read through Joshua, there are some exciting things. Unfortunately, at the end, it's tough to get through. Moses is put to death. He's put to sleep, and he's buried at the beginning of Joshua. And so leadership transitions, and it transitions from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua takes the lead of the people, click onto that next one. And they cross over the Jordan, the previous one. There we go. And God stops the water miraculously. The people cross over and he says, go get these stones and build these stones as a reminder of what the Lord has done. It's beautiful and it's a wonderful thing when God's people put up mile markers, moment markers, to remind us of what God is doing in our lives. And so we go from Moses dying, Joshua taking leadership, crossing over the Jordan, Rahab the harlot, hiding the spies, keeping them safe, letting them down out the window in the scarlet cord. And we're moving forward to things like Achan's sin. I heard a sermon preached one time called My Achan Breaking Heart. I'm not going to preach that one. It's too corny for me. But there in Joshua chapter 7, My Achan Breaking Heart and the sin that he was involved in. And then we have some men walking around a city. They make loud noise. And what happens? The wall comes tumbling down. We sing it at my house almost every night. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. I did it out of order, but you know what's going on. There are some massive things that are taking place in Joshua. And then it gets a bit more arduous, a more tedious. The first half, 1 to 12, 13, is full of stories and miracles and movement. And then it just kind of shifts. Not because it's less important, but because it teaches a different lesson. It showcases a different part of our God. And so from chapters 13 to 22, you see the land divisions of God's people in the promised land. And you might see maps in the back of your Bible. And what you'll see is the 12 tribes as God gave them land in the promised land. It's fascinating to me. And we're going to uncover a lot of this as we get into Joshua over the next several weeks. So really, the book can be divided into two, and I hope you're taking notes. I actually hope you come on Sunday nights with your Bible, a notebook, a pen and pencil, ready to go. First half, as I said, exciting and moving. Second half, it slows down a bit to teach us a different part of our God. Maybe, Howell, like what you said, that Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Maybe we need to slow ourselves and get into the details of Scripture a little bit more to realize what God is doing. But I'm going to challenge us to look at Joshua just a bit differently. And I put an image up here. And this is it. I'm going to call Joshua the bridge to the rest of the Old Testament. A bridge book. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, Joshua is the sixth book in the Old Testament. What are the first five? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They are called the Pentateuch. It's the Old Bible. The Pentateuch bridged through Joshua to the rest of the Old Testament. Why do I think that? Why do I believe that could be the case? Well, in the New Testament, what are the first four books of the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then what? Acts. Acts is a bridge to the rest of the New Testament. You see Jesus in his life and you uncover the new covenant as he began it. Acts is the history of the apostles and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And you shoot out from Acts into the letters of the New Testament. And it's beautiful. You're always coming back to Acts to see where we started, what happened, where do we go wrong. I think Joshua, church, could be the same way. Israel finally comes into the promised land. Well, eventually they get out of that because they're faithless and they go into captivity. Why? What happened? Where did they go? You got to go back to Joshua to figure it out. We're going to see bits and pieces of the nature of God within Joshua that I believe can become an interpretive key for the rest of the Old Testament. But let me show you something I found to be really cool. I didn't know this before. First five books of the Old Testament. There it is. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's a little chart I made on the chronology of the Old Testament. If Genesis covers 2,2500 years of time and all of its chapters, are you with me on that one? More or less? Probably not less, but more. Did you know that from Exodus chapter 1 all the way to Numbers chapter 16, it covers 1 year? I had no idea. It blew my mind. Either the microphone quit working or you're not impressed by that. That was absolutely mind-boggling to me. Because Genesis is this huge account of the beginning of life and the movement of people spreading over all the face of the earth. The promise to Abraham, as we sing in Pew Packers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The covenant was given in chapter 12 and chapter 20. And Abraham spread out. The people eventually ended up in Egypt and they're in captivity for hundreds of years as slaves in Egypt. It is a massive book covering a massive amount of time. Genesis. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. 1 year, quite possibly. Justin, you can move on to the next one because I don't. There we go. 1447 to 1446. This is mind-boggling. And then in in Numbers chapter 17, all the way through Deuteronomy, 1 year. They come out of the wilderness. They go to Mount Sinai. They receive the law. The law is given. The law is talked about. Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus. Numbers, the people are counted. Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos, which is a second law giving. That's what it means. Deuteronomos, Deuteronomy, the law given for a second time. Why? Because sometimes we're a bit hard-headed. 1 year. It fascinates me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Well, okay. Let's go on to another one. Joshua. So we get into Joshua, and this is where the movement happens. Moses leads Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, wandering, appreciating, not appreciating the Lord. You know the story. Wandering in circles, going here, there, everywhere. Finally, they cross into the promised land. They have arrived. I remember one time my dad and I were going to Dallas, Texas to watch the Cowboys play. On a Sunday, we drove out through Wichita, Kansas, because we had family in Kansas. We drove south through Kansas, eventually making our way through Oklahoma and into Texas. I remember leaving my aunt and uncle's house. We got into Oklahoma, and the drool started to pour off of my chin, because there was nothing. We got into Dallas. It's like, we have made it! And I remember the glee and the joy of finally arriving, and that was just a couple-hour drive in an air-conditioned vehicle. Can you imagine for you? Years and decades, finally entering into the place you've been desiring, and you're there. Well, then Joshua talks about what's coming next. They enter the promised land. They fight, they battle, they destroy nations of evil people. Put them to total destruction, God said. And church, we're going to have to wrestle and come to know God as He purges evil from among the nations. And the grotesque yet necessary obedience of the people. Grotesque only in that what they had to do wasn't easy. Necessary in that evil must be removed. And we're going to have to answer questions like, is God a moral monster? How did He have a right to command such a thing? And we'll come to know God not just when it's easy, the water is parted, the promised land is yours, but to know God when it's hard, when obedience is tough. And He's asking me to purge the evil even from my own life. We will see pieces of God's nature in Joshua that will not just become interpretive keys for the Old Testament, but will impact greatly, I hope, our lives. What I see in Joshua quickly, before I give you a text and a point to take home, what you're going to see is, number one, how the people chose to be a people of covenant. And this is in Joshua chapter 24. They chose to be that people, the people of covenant. At the very end of Joshua, he's giving his final decree, his final speech, and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And they chose to be a people of covenant. But you know what else the people chose to do in Joshua? They chose to be a people of sin. Don't you find yourself sometimes choosing God, yet the next day choosing sin? What we're going to see in Joshua is our own faces and our own stories coming up through the pages of this old text. They chose to be a people of covenant. They chose to be a people of sin. And the people, this is beautiful, church, the people were chosen and they were championed by God. Watch this. I want to take you through this. I marked this in my Bible so I will never forget it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to these words. Then Joshua... Yeah, go ahead and turn there. Because sometimes in conquest and in taking of things and land and progression and moving up the ranks, sometimes we believe the lie that it was because of you and it was because of me. But God repeatedly reminds the people. Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. Why? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua chapter 4, verse 23. Watch the reminder yet again. For the Lord, your God, dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. Why? Verse 24. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. You see the reminder, church? Don't believe the lie that it's you, that it's me, that it's our own abilities, but it is the Lord our God who is mighty. He is mighty in the good, mighty in the bad, and he sees us through it all. And that's what we're going to uncover in Joshua, chapter 5, 13 through 15. And when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Who are you fighting for? And he said, no, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And then Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Can I caveat for just a minute? I don't know why we draw angels as little children with curly blonde hair and tiny little wings. Because the imagery in the picture of angels within Scripture is far from that. As a matter of fact, most often when men and women of God see a vision or see a manifestation of an angel, the first thing they do oftentimes is say, fear not, fear not. Why? Because angels coming down from heaven are angelic beings from a spiritual realm far greater, far above, and with way more power than we have. Joshua fell to his face immediately. There was no mistaking who it was. I think we're completely skewed in our ideas of what an angel might look like. This is something coming from God on high with power and with might, and it was clear and obvious from where he came. Now, church, when we walk out into the world as God's people, it should be clear and obvious from who we came. That's Joshua 5, 13 to 15. Skip over to chapter 10, verse 42. I write these things in the columns of my Bible so I can move from text to text to text. Joshua 10, 42. And Joshua captured all these kings and their land at one time. Why? Because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. To the very end, chapter 23, verse 3. And this is the last place we'll go. In verse 2, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. Why? For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Churches, as we jump on this bridge and travel over it, I hope we are reminded day in and day out, not just because that's what Joshua commanded the people, night and day, but week to week, moment to moment, conversation to conversation, we remember that it is the Lord our God who fights for us, who is with us, and who will never forsake us. So we live by faith and walk by faith, not by sight. We leave no doubt or mistake from where we have come, and we become the bridge ourselves for people who need to know the Lord their God. All because we've been with the Lord in His book of Joshua. I think if I were to say in four words what this book is about, leadership, land, law, and Lord. We've had great leaders in this church. Amen. Amen. Bill, thank you, sir. Brother, Brenda, thank you. We've been blessed to be in this land. We have a law that contains the goodness of God, and we serve a Lord who is faithful. I hope you're excited to come to know God in the coming weeks better and better. And I hope you're doing some work in the background, because God, with our Lord, His arms are always open. He's always seeking those who will come and knock, and the door will be open. So if you need to respond in any way, in response to what the Lord has done, remember all throughout Joshua, it's the Lord who has done this and who has done that. The Lord has done it all for you and for me. So you can respond in faith. You can respond in obedience. You can respond with guilt because of sin. You respond, why? Because when you're in the presence of God, what do you feel like? Tiny and small and insignificant. But when God sent Jesus, His Son, He said, you are worth it all. Do not put that gift to shame. And if we can help you as a church family, what we want to do is help you come to Jesus and live and walk by faith. And if you need to respond now, you can do it as we stand and sing together. We got several new folks here tonight. Just want to make sure you're looking around, finding some new people. We've got family over here, some of my family from Pleasant Valley back there, and some other people, family over here. So make sure you realize this is not just about you. We're here for God and for other people, first and foremost. So go around, greet people, and share the love.
You can be seated. If you are here this evening and we're not at, you have an announcement, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and make.
We're going to have a very brief CYC meeting after the Lord's Supper is observed in the back. So we're going to have one Wednesday night and one tonight. So if you can't make it tonight, that's fine. We'll have another one Wednesday. So if you can, please stick around for that. Thanks.
If you're here tonight and we're not able to be here this morning to take of Lord's Supper, it is prepared in this classroom behind this back wall. You can go ahead and be dismissed at this time and go there. We're going to sing a song. It's called Pierce My Ear. I know the youth and some more should be familiar with it. This is a great song, especially an invitation type song, which sometimes our book can be a little weak in. But this song comes from Exodus chapter 21 and verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be forever, be his slave forever. And it's kind of a weird imagery to us today, but that was a stamp of ownership for the rest of that slave's life. And that's what the song mentioned as we think of God and giving our lives and becoming slaves to his will, where true freedom is found. Also, it's referenced in Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. In sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. And that open ear there is not referring to a listening ear, but a pierced ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And I hope that's what we have on our minds as we sing this. We'll sing this through. If we need to, we'll sing it again. But like I said, I know that several are familiar with it.
Here's my ear, O Lord, my God.
Young men, if you don't mind, go look and see if we have any cards. You can go pick those up if we have those at this time. We do want to encourage everybody to be back for our midweek Bible study Wednesday night at 6:30. Encourage everyone to be a part of that and to get involved. We've got a lot of things going on, a lot of opportunities to serve and work, and just a lot of good things going on. Find a way to get plugged in and get involved. We will close with We Shall Assemble. We'll sing it through twice. I'd like to ask if you would like. Let's stand one more time. We'll sing this song through twice, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble. Hallelujah.
Shall we pray? Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, the great I Am, the creator of all that we can see and everything we cannot see, we proclaim you as the one, the only, the true and the living God, the creator of this universe. And Father, we thank you for all the many blessings we have. We're especially grateful for Jesus and the life that he led as a perfect example for us, and for his dying on the cross, that he loved us so much that he died so that our sins might be forgiven. And Father, we thank you for our church family here, that we have so many to lift us up and help us by their examples and by their encouragement and exhortation. And Father, we thank you for the establishment of the church. And Father, we ask that as we leave this evening from this church building, that we realize that the church is not closed. When the doors to this building close, the church is not closed. The church is in our neighborhoods, it's in our schools, it's in the places where we work, it's in every place that we go. And we ask that you help us to be good examples, to be good stewards of your word, and that we be ready to give forth an example and an explanation of why we believe in you. And Father, we pray that you'll help all those who are suffering from health problems. We pray that it will be your will that you restore them to their normal health. And we thank you once again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.